What are we? Psalm what? 16. Psalm 16, right? The lines are falling onto me.
In pleasant places.
Praise the Lord. Now look at this one. I'm going to start from 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Cup actually just means your portion. Same thing, right? The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Places italicized. Yea, I have a godly or goodly heritage. Now the New Testament does speak a lot about inheritance. There was a place in Luke's gospel. You must know that parable. I never knew that parable, but I knew the Yoruba version through my wonderful mom. Luke 15. She would say, "He won't be a prodigal son." So I'm wondering, what were they offering me for me to be prodigal anyway? They didn't have anything then for me to go and spend. You know, and that has to do with when they give you food and you finish it on time. That's why you are prodigal. You know, and my mom will really minister to you. So in Luke 15, we had a boy who came to his dad. And he said to him, verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me." And he divided unto them his living. Now there's a very important part of this parable that we lose. Parables are usually illustrations where you tell a story. It's a fiction, not a true life story, but it has truth in it. It's just like when you write a movie. Now, I write, and I'm also part of those who write scripts, and we try to say, okay, we want to represent, so we want to present something to the public. And we say, what story can we use? So we get fictional characters and all that. Doesn't mean we're telling a lie, okay? For example, symbolism is the opposite of truth. It doesn't mean that symbolism is a lie. If I use oil, which in the scriptures is never for the Holy Spirit, I've said that over the years, oil is meant for consecration, because in the culture, where oil came from what you can call the Oriental culture, the Eastern culture, where if there's a place that is a sacred place, they use oil. And if you are not far from your hometown, particularly your world, you'll have noticed that they use it a lot. They consider that intersection a sacred place. As a younger Christian or preacher, me and my friends usually go there to take the sacrifices and eat them. Don't follow that example, okay? It's not good for your health. Alright, we felt we're gods. So. Okay, so you have the intersection. And so, you notice that they'll pour palm oil there. Oh yeah. That's what anointing means. And the oil wasn't meant to represent the deity. It was meant to say, keep this place out of reach. It belongs to someone. Okay? So when Jacob, in Genesis 28, when he uses the oil to anoint where he had the vision, that came from his culture. That wasn't God who told him to do it. But God accommodated that culture, in Genesis 31, verse 13, and he said, I am the God of Bethel where you are anointed. So, now, the oil is a symbol of the consecration, but it is not the consecration. So symbols are the opposite of reality. Not necessarily a lie. Okay? Like Jesus calls, John calls Jesus the true light, John 1:10, that lights every man that cometh into the world. But he calls John, that's John, John the Baptist, John 5:33, he says, a burning and a shining light. Burning and a shining light is like a lamp. Okay? A lamp that carries the light. Burning and shining light means something that, you know, might not be forever. But he calls Jesus the light. Jesus is the source, phos in the Greek, P-H-O-S. John is the light that carries the lamp that carries the light. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, a light that shineth in the darkness to the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. 2 Peter 1, 18 and 19. So you have the light, true light, not just a receiver of light. So symbols, like the physical temple, is not the real temple, but it's not a lie. So when you have a parable, it's not the true story, but it's not a lie. It carries a truth in it. So a parable is meant to be like a container. It's not the content, but it's a container. So Jesus tells a story here, and there's something we usually lose out of. Most parables are not supposed to, you're not supposed to look for the meaning of everything there. It's just a story. Have you ever watched, who grew up watching Tales by Moonlight? Bam, 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 bam. And you have a story. Now the story usually will have a lesson. And they want you to look at the story and see characters and what they represent. Now in this instance, Jesus talks about two brothers. Now this is, if you read the Old Testament very well, there's always this thing about two. The elder and the younger. And it goes on and on. But here, he asked for what followed him. Now, the guy, interestingly, has spent everything. He has spent, just hold on this parable very well. He has spent everything. He really spent. And there are people like that, they spend foolishly. There was a guy in my secondary school, I used to call him a particular name. When you have money, they call you millionaire. I gave him a nickname, Pneumonia. The reason was, when we get into the term, he comes with money, a lot of provisions. And you know about sponsor? Come and sponsor me. Do you know that language? So, he will sponsor everybody. Ariel will sponsor everybody. You get to the butchery, you say, you say, hey. You eat rice, you eat all those things, you buy and buy. And he'll be sponsoring everybody. But this is not a prophecy. You don't need to know anything. In the second week, you see him at the occupation sitting alone. It's a picture I saw for like 2 years. Then he will be begging. So I say, yeah, you meant to be a millionaire, but you're a pneumonia. Why would you have... Meanwhile, some of us will save our provision to the end of the term. We have some very interesting seniors who would ask you to open your box. Then they'll say, where's your Milo? I've not opened it. Where's your condo? I've not opened it. They now say, open it. So you now open it. They now ask you to taste it. So they'll now take the rest. Do you understand the significance? There was even one guy they punished so much. They asked him to bring food from the boarding house, from dining hall, pour it in the bucket, put all his conflicts inside the bucket, milk, sugar, everything, and ask him to eat everything together. I know, you said, well, that's what it is. So we now devise a method of keeping our provisions inside the rock. So at the end of the term, but the thing about you, the last day, the last night, before you go on holiday, we now go and bring the milk and sugar and try to eat everything at once. I don't know who is more prodigal, the guy that finished it on the first week, and we that at the end of the day, you start using the bathroom, you use the restroom, you just be going to, and you know, we have this place, and usually we have 3 places where you can use the restroom. There's one we call World Bank. We have Central Bank. Different sacred areas. Then we now had Boland. Boland is where you do short puts. Okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't bother to know. So when you eat like that, you don't use Central Bank, World Bank, you go for the short put area because that is where you keep coming and going. You know? So we kept that provision somewhere in the rock, myself and 2 other guys, and we kept eating like that. So when I saw some juniors try to play the same trick on me, I looked at them, look at you. You know. So now, look, this guy asked for his stuff and went and spent everything, and then he came back.
What did he come back to?
He came back to the Father. And the Father was there. He came back to the Father. Now, this is a story that can resonate if you read the Old Testament well. Because when he came back, the Father said, my son was dead. Okay? But he wasn't dead. Because death in the Old Testament is firstly an exile. When God said to Adam and Eve, or Adam firstly anyway, the day you eat of it, Genesis 2:16, you will die. Or in dying, verse 17, you will die. What happened to them, the death was that they were sent out, Genesis 3:22 and 24, out of the Garden of Eden. So death was first of all exile, absence. That's what death is. So when he said he was dead and is now alive, it's exile. He was lost, is found. They began to marry. That's what he said to his servants. So notice what he said to the elder brother in verse 31. Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. Key areas of that conversation, which we're going to explore shortly. Now, the New Testament talks about the same thing, the New Testament books I refer to, and you have the concept of inheritance. 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 Sometimes I hear pastors, and they say, receive your inheritance today. We say, amen. And, you know, and what they're referring to as inheritance is not biblical inheritance. You know, and like I said earlier, you can interpret an ancient book in a modern way, you'll be getting it wrong. Let's see a couple of texts. Acts 20:32. We read earlier in the morning, right? So I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Pay good attention to the use of those words. Now, in the New Testament, we have three words majorly for inheritance or heir. You have the word kleronomia. Kleronomia. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-I-A. You have kleronomos. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-O-S. Now, that one is for heir. You are the heir. Something belongs to you. Okay? Then you now have klero. K-L-E-R-O, which means a portion. So you have klero, K-L-E-R-O, portion, alright? They have kleronomia, the inheritance, the noun, K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-I-A. They have kleronomos. Nomos just means name, something like that. Means, not just name, sorry, means, the status means the inheritance now is yours, okay? Then you have clero, portion. So we have those three words. And they're interchangeable. So there's no challenge as to the use of those words. So in Acts 20:32, where Paul says, an inheritance, notice that, amongst them that are sanctified, Acts 26:18, by faith that is in me, an inheritance. Two times, you see it? Acts 20:32 and Acts 26, verse 18, 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you must have read that somewhere. At some point, 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah. Paul. In verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall make heaven when they die. Nothing like that exists there. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, kingdom is authority. So the context of this statement is, Paul is saying, you guys have a problem among one another. You go to the magistrate court, the high court, or the supreme court, or the appeal court, sorry, and the supreme court. He says, and you take your matter before the unjust. And he says, no, when it comes to the judgment of the saints, the least that is esteemed amongst the believer can handle it. You are called to judge angels, the worlds. So why are you now taking it to the world? Then he says, don't you know that no either later, alright, and all that shall inherit. Now the kingdom of God there replaces with authority. No either later can carry God's authority. That's what he's saying. Which is that The kingdom of God is given to believers to exercise authority, to decide matters, okay, to settle disputes. He's not talking about dying and going to heaven. He's talking about resolving issues among believers. Is that clear? That's what he's talking about, not going to heaven. But then he says, is amongst believers. No idolater and all that can inherit the kingdom. And you see it also in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And you can use the word has a lot or has a place in judging matters. Okay? Does it make sense? All right. Galatians 5. And verse 21. They which do such things shall not inherit. Now the word inherit means be a part of, okay? And the Greek of this is that which does such things, which is the flesh, does not have a part in the kingdom of God. That which does such things doesn't have a part, a portion, a place in the kingdom of God. So it's about a place, having place, access, being part of. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, you in church? Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul uses the word inheritance a lot, in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, if you back up a little bit, it says to us in 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we might gather together in one all things in Christ, both that are in heaven, which are on earth, and in him. Then it talks about inheritance. So it's God brings things. Then it says we have obtained, can you say, a place? Good. A place. Alright, in what God is gathering, you have a place. Okay, that's inheritance. Then look at the prayer in Ephesians 1, that should be 14 before we get to the prayer. Ephesians 1 and 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession to praise of his glory. So he says, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee that you have a place. A place where? Because in verse 11, 10, he says he's going to gather everything in one, in heaven and on earth, which means that the things that are earthly, all right, which is our physical bodies, will be glorified. He will redeem it, but you have a place in that. How do I know I have a place in that work? Because I have the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Okay, now look at the prayer now. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Well, now let me help you with some simple interpretation. Now stop writing, so that you can understand this one. Now, the concept of in is a Greek word, en, in the Greek. It's usually a bit dicey. Now, when I say in you, usually we interpret it as an individual statement. But notice, and it's applicable, true. But notice something. If I write a letter to a church, and I'm talking to them, okay, and I say, to all the saints, like Colossians 1:26, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm talking to more than one person. And I say, Christ in you, do I mean individually or amongst? That's a better way, right? Christ in you. So the word in you there is better like amongst you. Of course, it's individually in us, but to a collective people, it's amongst. So the same way, inheritance in the saints. Now if you follow Paul's teaching about inheritance, is it individual or among? Come on. Acts 20:32, Acts 26:18-19, right? The 1 Corinthians 6, we read, right? Come on. So amongst. So which means that my eyes should be open to see my place amongst the saints. Does that work? Does that work? Ephesians 5. That should be verse 5. Same book. It says, no covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance. Change that. Has what? What? A place in the kingdom of Christ and God. Okay? It can't be talking about money because a thief already has money. If you don't have money and they call you a thief, they're deceiving you. A thief already has money, so he's not talking about money. A place. Or can we say a role? An assigned place? Very well. Now look at Colossians 1. So can we say inheritance means to be a part of something? Is it working? Is it working that way? Does it work? A part of something. Very well. So look at Colossians 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 2, who has made us meet. I know you're hungry at this point, but it doesn't have A. To be partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in the light. Partakers of the place, okay, of the saints. Partakers of the place of the saints. So, if you look at inheritance as a place, or say a portion, okay, something you were given to hold, an assigned location. Hebrews 9. Oh, that's Colossians 3:24. Missed that one. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The reward of your place. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:4 first. Hebrews 1:4. Hebrews 1:4. Being made so much better than the angels, that's Jesus, as he by inheritance, what's the inheritance? He said in verse 2, that he is the Son. Okay? By inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. By his place. A more excellent name. Hebrews 9. And 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal place, eternal inheritance. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. I want you to circle this one because it's critical. It says, for by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, which he should, notice, a place, which should afterward receive for an inheritance. A place. An inheritance. The 1 Peter 1. So inheritance is not a substance, okay? Come on. Inheritance is not a substance. Okay, it's substantial, but it's not a substance. It's a place. You see shortly in a moment. 1 Peter 1:5. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. An inheritance, a place. So we say inheritance means to be given a place. A lot. Okay? So the New Testament doesn't teach inheritance to believers like goods passed across to you or substance given to you. It talks about a place. Alright? An assigned place. A role. A role, a place. For example, look at Romans 8. Let's see if you, just Romans 8. Where he uses the same word, heir. Romans 8 and 17. 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Then it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now look at 17. If children, then heirs. Now, subtle Old Testament echoes. When it uses bondage, bondage is Egypt, okay? They're called out of Egypt as God's son. Exodus 4:22-23. Okay? Then it says, the cry, Abba, Father. No longer bondage. What's the difference? In Egypt, they cried oppression. When they came out, okay, God is their father. So he talks about death. We switch from bondage to the liberty of the sons of God. Then he says, we are now heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, remember, they were called out of Egypt to a place. So if you are in a place, we don't own the place. We share the place. Joint heirs. In chapter 4, just for reference, in verse 13, it says, Abraham, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. The heir of the world. Now, when you use world, it's not necessarily the planet. The heir of what God has done or what he is doing. So, Abraham was called the heir. We are also called heirs. Galatians calls us heirs of the promise, which means we have a place in the promise. We have a lot in the promise. So, quick one. Inheritance is a position, right? Inheritance is a role. Inheritance is an assignment. Inheritance is something or somewhere that you stay. So let's get back to Psalm 16. Earlier in the morning, we did say that the psalmist is speaking as a priest, remember? A king, a prophet, and the son. Okay. So in Psalm 16, the Lord beside is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are falling unto me in delights, pleasantness. The lines are falling unto me. Now, that's not difficult to understand. We say lines means region. It means measurement. They are falling onto me. Which means positions, places, roles. Okay? So, a role, a position, a place. Remember we also said, when it says the Lord is a portion of my inheritance. That took us to Numbers 18, right? Where the Lord said, you give no land to Levi and Aaron and his children. I am their portion. I am their inheritance. Now, in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8, watch what I'm about to say now. Of all the nations in the earth today, maybe not today, but then all the nations in the earth, the only nation God created is not Nigeria or America. It's Israel. Every other nation were made by conquest, people's inventions or innovations, but not Israel. In Genesis, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. He says in verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the days of many generations, ask your father, he will show you, the elders, they will tell you. That means what you're about to say has happened in history. Then it says in verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, their place. Now, this is definitely Genesis 11, verse 4 through to verse 10 and 11. Where they scattered, that is the nations scattered around. Then it says, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. Now look at verse 9. Let's take 9 together. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Like, he gave other nations over to other people, but he took his place in Israel. He took his place in Israel. Of course, the reason is to reach the nations of the world. Because when he did that in Genesis 11, he now called Abraham out. And then he called Abraham that in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, he says, Israel is my portion, okay? And my inheritance. That is where I am. That is my place. That is the one I took to myself. Israel is my lost portion, is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So, what's this now? In all this conversation, he's talking about land. Israel is my lot, my portion. Jacob is the lot of my inheritance. So, inheritance, just like we read in the Old New Testament, means a place, a portion where you stay, a role that you play. The word nachala in the Hebrew, N-A-C-H-A-L-L-A-H, nachala. It means somewhere that you stay, somewhere that's become yours, from the word natal, N-A-C-H-A-L. It's yours. Or you are part of it. Some of that nature. And Deuteronomy 32, we won't read now, will give us that explanation. Look at Exodus 23 and 30. Exodus 23 and verse 30. Let's look at the verb. And 30. By little and little, I will drive them out from before you until you be increased and inherit. That means take your place, right? Take your place in the land. Look at Exodus 32 and verse 13. Take your place. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said to them, I'll multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land have I spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Okay? That means you take your place there and inherit it forever. Exodus 34 and verse 9. 34 and verse 9. If now I have found grace in your sight, this is Moses, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it's a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and sin, and take us for your own, or your inheritance. Now, Numbers 18 and 20. So there are two things you can use inheritance for, pay attention, land and people, okay? Land and people. Numbers 18. So if a people is my inheritance, it means I have a place amongst them, right? If a land is my inheritance, it means I have a place in the place. Does it make sense? Numbers 18 and verse 20. Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance amongst the children of Israel. I am your part and your inheritance amongst the children of Israel. I am your part and your inheritance. I am your place. Don't forget he also said, you are my place. So inheritance is a place and also, oh come on guys, are you here? A place and people. Now have you seen so far inheritance as goods and items? No. A place and the people, not items. Now, why is land used? Why is land used? Because when God spoke to Abraham, he showed him land. Why is land used? God spoke to Abraham and showed him land. Genesis 31 and 14. Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Is there any place for us? Is there any role for us? Chapter 48 and 16. So, does this look like the New Testament use of inheritance? Huh? I don't hear you. Chapter 48, sorry. And verse 6. Thou begest after them, shall be thine, you shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance, because that's land. Numbers 16 and 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards, a place which thou put out the eyes of these men, will they not come up? Numbers 16, 14, then Deuteronomy 13, we've seen that. Now, notice something that is going on. Inheritance is land and people. Inheritance is land and people, fields. And in the land, they also plant and get a harvest. So inheritance is land and people. Now, that stemmed from what God called Abraham for. Watch this now. In Genesis chapter 12, in church, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get you out of your country. So you mark that country. Your kindred from your father's house. So, one, country, place of residence. Kindred, family. Father's house, home. To a land that I will show you. So that land will have country, citizen. Come on. Then what else? Family. And then a home. To a land that I will show you. So the land he will give to him will become home, country, family, and is it making sense? Is it making sense? Now, this is what is called the inheritance, the nachala. The nachala. And it is noticed that he said, I will give you, or I will show you. So it is it by works or by grace? Come on. It's a gift. Okay? The gift of family, the gift of role, place, and of course the gift of home. It's a gift. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and that make your name great, and that will be a blessing. But pause. Something must have happened that brought this. In Genesis 11, we have the story of the Tower of Babel, where the nations, the whole earth was together. Of course, that's what you call an archetype. And then they wanted to build what you call a ziggurat, a temple space, where they would worship and all that. And then there was confusion amongst them. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4 through to 7. Then the nations are divided. You have about 70 of them or 72, depending on the accounts you have. So out of those nations, God now calls out one person from the land of Ur. His name is Abraham. And he says, I'll show you a land. That land will have a house, a home, sorry. It will have a country. And it will also have, family. That I will show you. I will show you the land. Now, for God to speak to Abraham that he will show him. And consistently, every time he's talking to Abraham about that land, he shows him by revelation. That land is not checking a property whether it's to let. No. It's not a piece of property, as you're about to see. He calls it a nation. Then in verse 3, families. He calls it a nation and families. So you can say, the land is people, right? Families. Very well. So later on, Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and his nephew by the name of Lot, they had these squabbles. Lot's employees were complaining, and Abraham's employees were fighting, and they said, no, our God brought you from, it's our God, who's your God? My God came with so and so from America. They were fighting. And Abraham called Lot in verse 8, saying, we're brethren, let there be no strife, okay? Then he asked Lot, he said, okay, look out for the land. That is how you will know it's not a piece of property. He said, take anyone you want. Lot was like, no, sir, you are my uncle. He said, take anyone you have. When he was doing that, he was doing Google, trying to check the geophysical survey. Then the Bible says he saw the one that was well watered, oil blocks, gas reserves. Then he said, uncle, I don't know whether you don't mind. I'm just thinking, so that you won't be so stressed, because that place is very far. Can I take that, Abraham, anyone you want? Take. And that movement was his greatest problem to the end of his life. So in Genesis 13, you have Abraham. The Lord said to him in verse 14, after Lot was separated, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. When God says lift up your eyes, you and I know that he's not asking you to go and climb the roof. Lift up your eyes is a vision. Okay? Are you here? Lift up your eyes from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now, where can you ever be that you will see everywhere? It's like when the devil showed Jesus the kingdom of this world at once. You can't even get it by CCTV or by satellite imagery. You get the point. That is a vision. Alright? Now, so he says, look at it. For all the land that you see will I give it, and your seed forever. How you will know Abraham wasn't having the physical side? Let's take 16 together. Go. I didn't hear you. Come on. I'll make your seed as the dust. Now stop. As the dust of where?
Yeah.
Continue. So that's people, right? What else? Family. Can you see it? Look at 17. Arise. So you can see the vision. Come on. Whatever land he showed Abraham, was going to contain the families of the earth. And he told him to arise and walk in it, which means it's a vision. I mean, where could he have walked to? Arise and walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. I will give it unto you. So, the land is given to him in a vision. In Genesis chapter 14, see what Melchizedek said to Abraham. He said, in verse 19, he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of what? Heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High that delivered the enemies into your hands. And he gave him a tithe of all. Look at chapter 15. When Abraham considered to use his own servant by the name of Eliezer, and God said no. He said to him in verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come out of your own bowels shall be your heir. Let's take verse 5 together. He brought him forth abroad. Which airline was that? And he said, look now toward where? And tell the stars. If you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. So you are saying that the land is moving from a place to a people. Right? Come on. From a place to a people. Genesis 17. Verse 4. As for me, my covenant is with you. Thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Nations. So, his country shall have how many nations? Many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abraham, but thou shalt be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, let's take verse 6 together. I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful. I'll make nations out of you, and kings shall come out of you. So, it's moved from a place now to what? People. Who's following this? Come on. So, the people will be in a place. The people in a place. Genesis 26. Are you learning something here? Genesis 26. Come on. Genesis 22. I wanted to say that 26. 22 first. When he offered Isaac, then another vision. Another vision happens here. Verse 16. By myself of our son said, Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. For in blessing I have blessed thee, in multiplying I have multiplied your seed as the stars of heaven, as a stand that is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Now, notice we are moving from land to what? Have you noticed? There's now more emphasis on people. Come on. Are you watching this? Genesis 28. So, can we call the land God showed Abraham a family, a people in a place? Would that work? Genesis 28. This is Jacob. Genesis 28. Here's Jacob. He's sleeping on a place in verse 11. Then he dreamed a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie. Now, stop. Let's look at this. Is this a vision? So can the land be where they put the stone? No. It's not where he put the stone. The land where you lie, let's continue, let's go. The land where you lie, to thee will I give it, and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I am with you, and shall keep you in all the places where you go, and shall bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Then he got up and he said, the Lord is in this place, I did not know it. He calls it the house of God and the gates of heaven. So we have moved to people, right? Come on. And we moved to people. Good. So, what's this? People in the land. Now pause a little bit. Look up. This is a very important aspect of it. How many nations are in this people? Huh? All the nations. Well, so if all the nations are in this people, and it's supposed to spread to the west, the east, that even the dust of the earth cannot match up, that means this place cannot be Israel in the Middle East. It has to be where? All the world. So, the moment I am born into this world, I am made for this plan. Come on. So life matters. Right? Life matters. I'm here. If I'm here, I am in. So watch this now. Wait. So if God gave Abraham a promise, okay? Or call it the promised land. Let's call that for the process. The promised land. Where is the promised land? Don't assume the promised land is when you die. There's a song like that. I'm going higher, yes, higher. I'm going higher someday into the presence of God. So we have been taught to wait for something when we die. Then we'll get there. And then they're looking forward to one place. A place. But God was talking to Abraham about the air. He's talking to Abraham about the air. We are looking at somewhere outside the air. What is God going to do with outside the air? Hallelujah. This is where it is happening. And you are here. Hallelujah. This is where it is happening. Glory to God. So, the promised land is a people. Okay? Come on. So, when David said, the lines are falling onto me, he must have looked at his genealogy. He has Gentile in his blood, right? Then he's also Israel. The lines are falling. They are coming together. Hallelujah. In a pleasantness. Wow! A God, a goodly heritage. God's promise of all the nations in one family. Come on. David is saying, I'm a part of these people. Come on. I've got a role to play. I've got a goodly heritage. The lines are falling onto me in the pleasant places. I've got a goodly heritage. So anyone who is born again, even if he's from a wall, anywhere he's from, or in Jebu Jesha, that's the same Jesha. How can you combine in Jebu and Jesha together? What does that mean? The moment you come in from everywhere, you know, the lines were divided, right? The nations. Then it says, when I come into the house of God, the lines are falling on me. All the nations come into place. This is a goodly heritage. Hallelujah. The lines are falling onto me. Which means that there is no nation in the world that I don't belong to. Hallelujah. The lines are falling onto me. In this pleasantness, I have a goodly heritage. What does that mean? All the nations have been collapsing to one. Just like Genesis 2, where we have a single identity, the image of God, where his priest and servant have got a goodly heritage. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. That means I'm a priest. I'm a servant. Hallelujah. A priest and a servant, not just for Israel, but for the nations of the world. Praise the Lord. This is a guy who, don't forget this one. He was born in controversial circumstances. His dad has Gentile blood. What a mix. Just like Abraham, a Gentile called to inherit the blessing. I've got it mixed. I have a goodly heritage. So the house of God, the land God gave Abraham, was a people from every tongue and every tribe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Is that our inheritance? Come on. Is that our inheritance? Is that our inheritance? We have a place in there, right? We have a place in there. Where? In the earth, right? Come on. We have a place in there. That's why David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the shepherd of Israel, said, the Lord is my shepherd. They say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's not where you die. Praise the Lord. The house of the Lord is this earth. Forever. Praise God. So right where you are. Right where you are. Right where you are is your place. Hallelujah. You got a meaning to your life. Amen. Right where you are. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got believers around you? Let me see your hand if you do. Believers around you? In a local assembly? The house of God? Wow, you are right there in your inheritance. Your place. In Christ Jesus. You are right there. Different tribes have come in. Doesn't matter who you are. That's why it becomes very absurd and odd if a church is doing class. And I'll tell them, I know, I'm not trying to criticize, but you see, this is Pastor Somi's church, so I can say this a bit freely. Some churches say, come next Sunday. Come in your native attire. Let's celebrate our cultural heritage. What? No, we didn't inherit culture from God. We inherited the people. Hallelujah. Isn't it that? Come here. Some guys now go, oh, yeah. Some guys come to the top. I told a pastor one day, I said, if you want the full manifestation of this desire, you will run out of the service. So what do I mean? In some culture, the women will come with nothing. Say, ah. No, you can't take. No, you can't take that one. Take everyone. Maybe you want everyone. I said no. Ah, you come with all our attire. Ah, some guys come with bow and arrow. In the service, you raise your hand. He said, "Okay." I just thought you just to see the uniqueness. I said no. Already on the day of Pentecost, you could see God did something. They brought all the Jews from under the heavens and they came together. And everybody there saw what God was planning in the earth. Everyone speaking the same language. The same Lord. The same baptism. Amen. The same Father. Ephesians 4, verse 4, verse 5. The same Lord, the same Spirit, the same body. Glory to God. And I have my place in it. I have my place in it. I have my place in it. Glory to God. You have your place? The lines are falling on you. The lines are falling on me. I have a goodly heritage. I got a goodly heritage. What's my inheritance? Fellow believers, right? Come on. I got a place in their lives. They got a place in my life. Is it working? Does that work out? I got a place in their lives. They got a place in my life. Praise God. Praise God. And we're joint heirs. Come on. In the same family. In the same place. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a goodly heritage. It's a goodly heritage. It's a goodly heritage. Glory to God. It's a goodly heritage. You know, by the way, we can't number, not number it. You can't number it. No, you can't. You can't number it. No church can number believers in the earth. I can tell you that free. No organization can do it, because that's what God said. You can't number it. You can't number the believers in this country. You can only guess. And your guess will just be a guesswork. God is working things in the earth. You know what Tony Brown said, it's going to spread to the east, to the west. And you know God is doing that? Hallelujah. How do I know? See you now. So I'm part of the move of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're not speaking Hebrew. Praise God. We're speaking in English that was not even in existence when God spoke to Abraham. But it's come to a point where we're speaking one language. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one language we can say everywhere and anywhere. At some point we can also speak in tongues together. Glory to God. We speak in tongues together. Amen. And that unites us. So we have one family. What a goodly heritage. The lines are falling on us. Praise God. So we have one family. Is that clear? Lines are falling. What else? We have one profession. It's a family profession. You know, there are some families like that. Everybody has the same job. They say, well, is this family? Well, can you imagine? The man has 5 children and they're all accountants. My dad tried that. He failed. He wanted us to do something. Nobody became it. I know a family, all of them are doctors. But none of them is practicing. You know, so this man, David Daffinoni, I think he had 5 children and all of them were chartered accountants. So I said, wow, all of them chartered accountants, 5 of the children. So I know another man, he has 4 children, then all the 4 children are medical doctors, then he has another set of grandchildren that are medical doctors. There's a family like that, I think he has 4 children, they're lawyers, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all lawyers. Say, wow! So in that family alone, we have 10 lawyers! Yeah! And I say, what are you looking at? God set up a family that hundreds of millions are priests. What about that one? We have the same profession. Glory to God. We've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have a goodly inheritance. A goodly inheritance, pardon me. We got it already. When you are in that land, you got the Holy Ghost. When you're in that land, you got a new DNA. When you're in that land. So we begin to train you. Train you to adjust to your inheritance. Hallelujah. Following this? So you haven't seen anything yet. I'm saying, you mean everybody has the same profession? I was telling someone, do you know this family, there are millions. One single nation, and everybody has the same profession. Yeah, I said, which nation can that be? One nation, and everybody is doing the same thing. It can't be America. It can't be United Kingdom. Nope. Of course, it can't be Nigeria. You know, it can't be Nigeria. You know, it's in Nigeria that any business you start. So say, hey, what are you doing? Said, I'm now selling puff-puff. Yeah, I say, hey, you go and start his own puff-puff business. Okay. So, which nation is this? Wow. Says, you are a chosen generation. a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Everybody's got the same task. Glory to God. The lions are falling onto us. In the pleasantness of God, in the pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. Hallelujah. Learning something here? Everybody. Everybody. So how do I know what to do? If I just look at you, I know what I'm supposed to do in life. So what we do to one another is that we model the family to one another. So I just look at it and say, wow, that's what I should be. This is what I should be. So we don't say, that guy can pray. It's a family profession. That guy can preach. It's a family profession. That guy's conduct is so pure. It's a family profession. Because it's the same land. It's the same inheritance. Praise the Lord. Are you here? Are you here? So that means you are mine and I'm yours. Glory to God. My inheritance is with you. Your inheritance is with me. Glory to God. Whatever is in that land, and God gave to you, is also for me. Whatever I've given to me, is also for you. Glory to God. Are you here? Are you here? Come on, are you here? The lions are falling onto us. In the pleasant places. We have a good year. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance. I'm a priest. So how do I function in the land? As a priest. I begin to serve. How do I take my place? Service. What is service? I make myself available. I make myself available for others to receive from me. Glory to Jesus. I said, glory to Jesus. Say, I'm available. Say, I'm available. So when you see a Christian, you know, someone says, today I discovered my inheritance in Christ. I discovered my, what a teaching. Not you. They tell them, you're a new creature in Christ. All things are past, all things are become new. Wow, glory to God. You know, your past has no hold over you. Excuse me. When I approach God, when I say, what a sweet inheritance. Then you say, all right, after the service, please, can we just wait behind? Want to pray for some brethren, you know, and say, sorry, I'm not going to be available for it. Say, tomorrow evening we'll go for evangelism to preach. I don't really have that passion. It's not my calling. And I say, okay, can we have people to work at the Department of Security? We need somebody. I say, no. No, that's the inheritance. Hallelujah. So serve as a priest, a priestly king, a kingly priest. Revelation says you have made us kings and priests on the earth. The earth is what God is doing. And you are here. You are here. So which means when I know the earth is where it's happening, every day counts. Everything counts. Every day counts. Everything counts. God didn't give Abraham heaven, he gave Abraham the earth. Hallelujah. And in this earth, I take my place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I look also for my inheritance. Look up for other believers. He belongs to me. Now, of course, qualify that. Before you talk to a brother, you know you belong to me. I've been telling you that you should talk to me. Your brother tells you know you belong to me. Now, that's not what we're talking about here. Amen. It's good to clarify. Praise God. Are you in church? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if you are here, you are part of what God is doing. if you are here. Where? On the earth. Praise God. If you are, anybody on the earth here? I am. You are on the earth? Or you are heavenly bound?
I'm going,
better come down. This is where it's happening. And I am in the very midst of the move of God in the earth. It said, as the earth remains, amen. It said, as long as I live, pardon me, the earth shall be filled with my glory. Numbers 14:21. The prophet says, as the waters covers the sea. And where am I? I'm here. Aren't you glad you're here? Come on. Aren't you glad you're here? So every day is a plus. Aren't you glad you're here? Aren't you glad you're here? I'm part of what God is doing. So which means I should always be grateful for every day. Every day God is doing something. I'm part of His move in the earth. I'm part of His work in the earth. I'm part of His plan in the earth. Amen? I'm part of it now. Praise God. You know, there's nothing in life greater than life itself. You know, one day I looked at my dad's room. His room used to be like Astro Rock. Initially, we used to call it the Dan Barracks. It became Astro Rock. Where you can't go past it. When you go there, when you are coming out of the room, it's either you have done something wrong or done something very right. You know, you don't just enter it. You know, and you know, it looked like an exclusive place. But when he died, brethren in church were just entering and coming out. I told someone, I said, this house you are building, you don't know what your children are going to do with it. He said, I'll write it in my will. I said, who will enforce it? Men, wherever you enforce it, better fulfill God's will for your life and get out. Are you here? Nothing greater in life than life itself. I know you might be feeling things are not the way you want it, but you are here. You are here. And you are part of the move of God. You are here. You can receive, and others can also receive from it. So you are part of the move of God. I can receive, and I can give. I'm part of the move of God. This is my inheritance. He said, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Amen. This is it. Praise God. That's why when Jesus rose from the dead, he came back. Physically. Why did he physically come back? Because this is where it's happening. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. This is where it is happening. And I'm right there. Nothing greater than being in the center of God's plan. It's greater than being the managing director of any company. Life is a gift. Life means that God has you in mind in His purpose and plan. So learn to value living. Are you here? Learn to value it. Jesus said, what will profit a man to gain this whole world, which is not possible, and lose his own soul? What can you exchange for? Nothing. Someone say, oh, Pastor, I don't know. Where are you frowning? Some guys, you know, they always frown. When they're speaking in tongues, they're frowning. When they're praying to me. So what's going on? Says, I've had a bad day. So I said, would you rather have no day? Well, a bad day can be turned to a good day. You're still around! Yeah. Woo! You're here! Yeah. So, if you slept last night, things didn't go well. This morning, say, well, I'm here. I can believe God. I can receive from God. I can receive from brethren. I can help others. Because life is a gift. I'm a part of what God is doing. I'm a part of what God is doing. Woo! Hallelujah. If you can switch from selfishness, you will discover that in spite of your own pain and trouble, someone is going to get blessed through you. That means you're a part of what God is doing. If you are less selfish and selfless, no matter what you're going through, others will still get blessed. I remember a woman, he knows a woman, Pastor K also does. I never knew she was sick. And I'm, sit down one minute, let me just finish this one. And I drive it home, I'll get you standing later on. Amen. And she's been ill, I didn't know. Now I'm in Jebu, so when I say this, I know some unbelievers there will laugh. But my favorite meme is Ikokore, they will start laughing now. See? My wife doesn't believe it. Because she doesn't cook it like I want it. So in the whole ministry, I've been trying to get someone to cook Ikokore. They've all tried, but... You know, it's those things that heaven and earth shall pass away. That's not good. But this woman now made it. And I finished it. I said, wow. She started sending me the stuff. And then there's the egusi jebu. You know, it's different. Oh, thank you, Lord. When you eat that kind of meal, you teach the word of God with panache. She began to do that. She was sending to me. We only met once. We spoke on the phone. But you know, she was such a blessing to me. Later I found out she was ill, sick, and she died eventually. But you know, that was not an excuse not to bless me. When we went to our church, the pastor said, she's such a blessing. She did this for us. She did that for us. I think he gave them a bus or something. Despite the fact that she was having her own challenges, that is how to be part of God's move. You will bless somebody if you think less of yourself. Blessed are the meek. They will have their place in the earth. Inherit the earth. I always talk about Joseph. The story comes out all the time when I talk about it. You know, Genesis 37, because he was a faithful guy, his brothers hated him. Then he had a vision about his brothers and his family, that even his father was involved at some point and almost got upset. They began to hate him. Genesis 37, they sold him out. But Genesis 37, they sold him out. Genesis 39, he's in the house of Potiphar, where he's faithful, he's made the boss, the manager, in the house of Potiphar, the chief slave. Then Potiphar's wife, you know, likes him. I think he must have been a takeaway guy. Fine boy. And handsome guy. Hard working. What else do I want in a man? Idiot woman. She just wanted to have sex with him. He said no. He didn't say no because there was CCTV there. Some guys don't sin because people are going to know. He said, I'll sin against my master and God. Then she got upset, tore his clothes and took a portion of it. And then, of course, sent the voice note over WhatsApp and everybody would listen to it. And did all sorts of stuff. And no one would believe a slave over Potiphar's wife. That's simple, right? We do it today. And so he goes to jail. He's faithful there. He's faithful. At every point, Joseph serves. In spite of the uncomfortable circumstance that he had. But before you get there, the later on he interprets the butler and the baker. One of them's head is cut off, the other person goes back to the king's palace and forgets to tell the king the story. I don't think he forgot. There's no way you can forget that. He just didn't think it was necessary. Then later on, Joseph is called upon to interpret the king's dream. He does that. Then the king says, to whom shall we give this to rule over the land? He didn't say that because he gave a vision. He said that because he had a track record of faithfulness, stewardship in things he was doing. He handed over Egypt to him, and then he practically ran the country. Then his brothers came in Genesis 42, and then he again preserves the life of his father and his siblings. Now, Joseph now said at some point, that's Genesis 45, that should be verse 7 or so, and then he said that, you did not send me here, it's God who sent me here. But if you read that story, you will see God in it. It's God who sent me here. After a while, of course, when the dad died, the brothers were afraid that he might take revenge on them. So they quickly crafted an email. It said, Jacob.God. And then they said, my son Joseph, I know by the time you're in this email, I must have died. Please, God said I should tell you, don't touch your brother, though. And so they crafted that email and gave it to Joseph. Joseph said, leave this one around. And said, why would I hurt you? He said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. He sent me here to preserve life. Now listen to that. In every time Joseph was in trouble, or they had a problem with the Potiphar's house or the prison, the Bible says God was with him. And at each juncture, we found him able, after many years of disappointment, rejection. I mean, how would you be your father's favorite 1 minute, then you are a slave the 2nd minute, then again you are promoted, then again from promotion you are demoted to jail? It doesn't look good. But you know what? After many years, if were to be some believers, they will stop praying. They'll say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I know I backslid, but you have to understand. I lost my job. I lost my passport, American passport. I lost my car. What would I come to church to do? It's not easy. No. Imagine if those guys had a dream. They said, Joseph, what is it about it? The one I interpreted, what did he get me to? Murmurers are never used by God. When you murmur, you cut yourself off. He interprets it. Then they call him, the king has a dream. Say, I don't have the interpretation. Ah, Joseph, you now. No. The first one, what happened? The second one, what happened? Let me. He came in there, interpreted. He learned not to grumble or murmur. He saw God using him. I see God using him. And I see every turn a training point. I'm being built for something. So as long as I'm here on earth, no matter the challenges, I'm going to overcome it. And I know there's a season, everything will come together. God is doing something. I'll keep praying. Be led by His Spirit. Feed on the Word. No matter the circumstance. Joseph couldn't predict the circumstance, but he knew the outcome. I don't know every circumstance, but I know the outcome. I'm his vessel in here. And I'm going to make myself available all the time. But there's a key moment here I want you to observe. We always talk about all those encounters Joseph had, the kind of, you know, how he became the prime minister, the house of Potiphar. But it was the greatest miracle in the story that we hardly talk about. That they wanted to kill him, and they did not. If he had died, he wouldn't have been a blessing. So the greatest miracle was his life was preserved. You know, that is really the miracle here in this room this afternoon, that you are still here. No matter what had happened to you, I'm closing here. No matter what had happened to you at any time, brother, sister, you are still here. And because you are still here, you have lives to bless. No matter what you're going through now, no matter the circumstances, you have lives to bless. There are people you are going to put a smile on their faces. There are those you are going to help. There are those you are going to save. There are many you are going to give compassion to. You have your own doubts, your own troubles, but you are solving other people's own. Why? Because the Lord is your portion and your inheritance. You are like Levi. Levi wouldn't have what others had, but the Lord was his own. He had to serve and wait on the Lord for others. He had his own needs. He had his own challenges, but he had to serve others. You are that man today. You are in the earth. And life you have is a gift. That is why not being thankful is a sin. Jesus said, is life not more than food and raiment? There are people that have food today. The food can last 10 years, but brother, they're no more around. They can't eat what they made, but I can eat what I made. And I can give others to eat. I can be a blessing today. Come on. I can pray for someone. I can give to someone. I can lay hands on someone. I can prophesy on someone. I can smile at someone. I can make someone happy. I can make another rejoice. I can make another love God. I can get someone to be born again. I'm here. So being in the earth itself is the center of God's will. I am here. Ezekiel said, the dead cannot praise you. Only the living can praise you. Only the living can serve in church. Only the living can give. Only the living can pray. Only the living can prophesy. Heal the sick and be healed. The lions are falling on you. In the pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I'm here. I'm here. I will bless. I will be a blessing. And I'll receive blessings. So I'm dealing with murmuring and complaining. Tonight we're going to bless one another. We are going to lay aside everything and stop being selfish for once. I told one guy was complaining one day. I said, you know, my brother died over 20 years ago. This was recently in church. I said, if you ask my brother today, can he exchange his place with yours? He will say, immediately. Maybe you should go to where he is. I said, no, sir. You can still pray. You can still believe God. You can still experience miracles. Because you are in the center of what God is doing. God is doing things in the earth. Brothers and sisters, you are a part of it. You believe that? So tonight, we're going to walk in that inheritance. You know, tonight, someone is going to receive a miracle from you. Tonight, you're going to receive from others. Tonight, you're going to look away from yourself and pray. And so we'll get an answer from God through you. Tonight, you will share joy, laughter, and rejoicing. Because you are His vessel. Being alive is a blessing. So I said, what about salvation? Can you be saved without being alive? Go and try someone who is dead and get him saved. You only got saved because you were alive. Life is a gift. It means I'm part of what God is doing. He's doing it now. I don't thank God right now. Come on. In a way you've never done before. Go ahead.